The governor ordered state inspectors to review VA hospital records and conditions after a national investigation indicated three patients died and several were injured because of delayed treatment in the VA region that includes Florida. None of those deaths occurred at Bay Pines VA Hospital in St. Petersburg or James A. Haley VA in Tampa. And state regulators were advised that federal law prohibits sharing VA patient records. Yet state inspectors showed up at Bay Pines Tuesday and at Haley Wednesday, according to Karen Collins, public information officer with Haley.
They asked to inspect our records, and we're, you know, working with them, taking their concerns. Basically, VA is dealing with it on a regional and a national level.
Collins says the VA has offered to meet with the governor and state regulators. However, the Agency for Healthcare Administration did not acknowledge the VA's invitation. Instead, it sent out a press release detailing how inspectors were declined the opportunity to review any processes at Haley. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News. What possibly has gotten lost in the headlines and the back-and-forth exchanges between the governor and VA officials is that the report on delayed diagnosis and treatment leading to possible death and injury of veterans in the Florida VA system was the result of an internal review.
We do extensive reviews internally, and we welcome external reviews.
Mary Kay Hollingsworth is communications director for the VA region that includes Florida, South Georgia, and the Caribbean. As to state regulators seeking access to their federal records, Hollingsworth says the VA's Deputy Undersecretary for Health has spoken several times with Florida's top health regulator.
We have released some documentation sharing with them the extensive internal processes that we have in place. There were some documents that they requested that we were unable to provide them because they contain patient information.
But that has not been enough to satisfy Governor Rick Scott.
There should be complete transparency. If somebody makes a mistake, how are you going to solve it? If you're not going to talk about it, if you're not going to share the information, how are we ever going to know how they're going to solve it?
That was Scott during a press conference at a Tampa American Legion Hall in late April. It was there that he was asked if veterans should not use the VA until he has that transparency.
What I know is we've been told their deaths, we've been told there's injuries, and we've been told that they won't allow us to come in and help them. They won't tell us where it happened, why it happened, what the corrective action is. That's wrong. I mean, it's our tax dollars doing this, and it's our veterans.
But one of those veterans has been alarmed by the kind of message that veterans could be receiving from the recent barrage of negative news.
We noticed that the newer generation of veterans are somewhat reluctant to receive care at the VA.
John Pickens III is a Vietnam veteran who worked decades for the VA, but is retired and now runs a nonprofit financial counseling service for veterans.
I don't want young veterans who are on the fence about receiving care at the VA. I don't want them to be influenced by unfair media or political attacks that might make them think that VA is not for them.
But there will be more headlines when Florida Congressman Jeff Miller, chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, holds a field hearing on the VA internal investigation to be scheduled sometime this year in the Tampa Bay region.
I think the problem was in the size of the bureaucracy. It's the second largest agency in the federal government, over 330,000 employees. The vast majority of those employees are doing great work. Veterans will tell you today that the health care that they receive once they get into the system, once they can get an appointment, is excellent health care. There's going to be some issues, and I understand that.
Miller has held previous congressional hearings in Washington, but says his committee is still waiting on answers and documents. He blames mid-level managers, not former general, now VA Secretary Eric Shinseki.
I believe that Secretary Shinseki wants to do the right thing. But the fear that I have is he's not being told the truth by his subordinates, and he's not able to make the effective changes that he needs to make.
While the state of Florida has no legal right to those VA documents, Congress does, according to Jay Wolfson, an attorney and distinguished service professor for public health at the University of South Florida. Wolfson says it is not unreasonable to have a field hearing, no matter who asks for it.
If it uses it not just for political purposes, which it will, but to do genuine fact-finding for the purposes of improving care and services and efficiencies and the use of scarce resources, that is always a good thing. But count on a reasonable, if not substantial, portion of the process being political.
Wolfson says we live in a political system and veterans are a prized part of that system, especially in a political year. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News. Dressed in a blue polo shirt inscribed with Tin Can Sailor, USS NOAA, Navy veteran Robert Barry patiently waits for Congressman David Jolly to finish a radio interview before stepping up.
I am the president of a reunion association for a Navy destroyer. We served in Vietnam in 69. We were in a place called Queen Anne Harbor in Da Nang. We are trying to get the ship qualified for Agent Orange.
Okay.
Barry opens a notebook filled with letters, photos, and copies of the ship's log.
These are pictures of Queen Anne.
Okay.
Where we pulled in. We worked with swift boats while we were there. This is their base.
Right.
We have submitted this information, including our deck logs. We've submitted signed affidavits from all of our officers stating that we were intercoastal waterway and boots on the ground and firing missions and everything.
Have you ever used a congressional inquiry?
No. We've been submitting these things into the VA, and the VA, for some reason or another, is losing the information. We've submitted it four or five times.
We'll get the inquiry done in the next couple of weeks. Well, I'm happy to do this for you.
What will you do for this that can help expedite it?
It's exactly why we're having a day like today, because I want to get information from people who have had trouble getting a response from the VA, a substantive response. And so my job as a representative is to demand a substantive response from the VA as soon as possible.
Well, if we can get this ship qualified for Agent Orange, this means that we have 15 different diseases that these guys are covered for.
Sure.
360 men that served on this ship in Vietnam.
Okay.
And there's quite a few of them that are sick right now. And if we can get this, just get our name on this list.
The only challenge here is going to be getting copies of all this.
I have all copies for all of these.
Okay.
I can hand them to you right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah. Well, I'll get a letter off to Sloan Gibson here in the next 2 weeks.
Sloan Gibson is the acting secretary at the Department of Veterans Affairs. As soon as the congressman finishes with one veteran, another approaches.
Hey, Sir David Jolly. Nice to see you. Is there an issue we need to be working on with you?
Al Kelly hands Jolly two well-worn pieces of paper, a discharge form and a citation for the Silver Star.
I want you to read that.
Okay.
I want you to look at those commendations on there. But this is my brother-in-law, and I'm here to speak for him.
Okay. Tell me about your brother-in-law then. I mean, I just saw the record, Silver Star. Yeah.
Okay. 45 years of untreated PTSD. He ended up in prison. He did 23 calendar years locked up.
So when he attempted to receive care after he got out, what was the experience?
The process was so long, but I filed for him in November. And he had received no letters, no nothing, saying that they were going to treat him or anything.
Kelly said 6 months lapsed and his brother-in-law was never contacted by the VA. He had an incident with a girlfriend, was charged with a parole violation, and put back into prison.
And we'll need your permission, but if you'll leave copies of this, and if you'll meet with one of our staffers, we'll follow up. We'll get on this, and I'll follow up with you.
All Kelly wants is to make certain that his brother-in-law gets treatment for his PTSD as soon as the Silver Star recipient is released from prison. Kelly and Barry are no different than hundreds of thousands of veterans across the country. Veterans looking after veterans, determined to get them the best of care. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News. More than two dozen veterans with VA issues brought their problems to the Temple Terrace intake event organized by Congressman Dennis Ross of Lakeland. Ross says his office has received complaints about the VA medical side, but also with VA benefit claims.
And we have waiting lines there. But more importantly, what we've seen is that when the Veterans Administration would receive claims, if they denied them, in many cases they would deny them, they would consider them closed.
There's an appeals process for veterans denied benefits, but Ross says many veterans have experienced undue delays.
Due process is everything. We have multitude of cases in our office where they have recouped retroactively payments that were due for years past.
His congressional staff is handling more than 100 cases involving veterans. Ross says he is open to outsourcing the claims process, just like medical care, if it would speed up service to the veterans. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News.
The new secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs spent several days in Florida this week trying to get the word out that his agency is getting better. Bob McDonald took over this past summer after a months-long scandal involving long wait times for VA patients, patient deaths, and a cover-up. He says the VA will regain the trust of veterans and the American people. For our Veterans Coming Home project, WUSF's Bobby O'Brien reports on McDonald's visit to Florida, where he shared his reform plans and listened to the concerns of VA employees, service organizations, and veterans.
With investigations into secret patient waiting lists and retaliation against whistleblowers, trust in the VA hit an all-time low this spring, especially in Congress. Here's North Carolina Senator Richard Burr questioning former Secretary Eric Shinseki in May.
Mr. Secretary, from all I've described to you and the current investigation that's currently going on, why should this committee or any veteran in America believe that change is going to happen as a result of what we're going through?
Shinseki resigned 2 weeks later. One of the main criticisms was that he was too slow and guarded when sharing information with Congress. New VA Secretary Robert McDonald now gives frequent updates to Capitol Hill on VA investigations.
I share with Chairman Miller every week a list of the number of disciplinary actions that we have going. I update that list every week. So Chairman Miller, who made the request, and now Chairman Sanders, who I'm also sharing the list with, will be able to provide oversight to our process and make sure that we are doing as we say.
Bob McDonald gets it.
That's Florida Congressman Jeff Miller, chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs.
He came on board at a time when VA was going through probably the worst crisis that they ever had. I would say that he is a hands-on type person.
Miller liked that McDonald invited him to come along as the secretary toured Florida VA facilities in Sarasota, St. Pete, and Tampa. And McDonald is reaching out to more than members of Congress.
I've told people to call me Bob, not secretary. I want people to feel free to tell me what's going wrong. And I feel that the formality that may have been existing got in the way. I've given out my cell phone number publicly. It's been published numerous times. I take calls from veterans at all times of day. And the whole intention there is to demonstrate to veterans that we're about them, not about ourselves.
As the former CEO of Procter & Gamble, McDonald is all about customer service. He was ready to retire to Florida when the president called.
All of this crisis was a surprise. Well, it shouldn't have been. I mean, we should have been able to forecast the huge influx of people that we've had in places like Florida, Nevada, Phoenix, San Diego, and not surprisingly, that's where the veterans are going.
That influx of veterans led to problems, especially when employee evaluations were linked to how fast veterans got scheduled and seen by a doctor. Secret lists were created and data manipulated at some facilities. Bottom line, some veterans waited too long to see a doctor, while others went without any care. McDonald says he is waiting on the results of 93 active Inspector General investigations.
Some of those investigations are going to result in the Department of Justice being involved. Some of them will result in the FBI being involved. And some of them could well result in criminal charges being brought.
A West Point graduate and veteran Army Airborne Ranger, McDonald says he has no tolerance for employees who do not embrace the core value of the VA, that veterans come first.
I've made clear that those employees who have violated those values are going to be subject of disciplinary action, that we're going to do that aggressively, we're going to do it expeditiously, and we're going to do it to the letter of the law.
But the new secretary is ready to defend any VA employee who exposes a problem at the VA.
We do not tolerate retaliation. In fact, I celebrate whistleblowers. I want every employee to be a whistleblower. I can't improve. We can't improve unless every employee is a whistleblower.
Some of his new steps to improve benefit claims include moving to standard forms, going to digital files, and creating new ways to deal with appeals. To improve access to medical care, McDonald has extended clinic hours, used mobile clinics, and had people work overtime. He's also reorganizing the medical inspector's office, working on a new scheduling system, and requiring face-to-face audits.
I've done some research, and this may surprise you, but we don't see the full effect of a war in terms of the impact on Veterans Affairs until 40 years after the war.
And McDonald wants the VA to be ready when that influx of Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans hits in 2054. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News.